Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's message was given by First Pres Interim Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Tassie Green. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, which you will find in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles on page 60 or on screen. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. God, our helper, guide us into and through your word that we might be shaped by your Spirit's message to us today and transformed for service in your world. Amen. Jesus had been proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and provoking the scribes and Pharisees to oppose him. Luke 6, verse 12. Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer with God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Such a joy to pray for God's blessing on a family. We pray for God's blessing on each family, and perhaps you've heard the idea that we, as a church, as followers of Jesus, are blessed to be a blessing. It's a popular phrase, but sometimes we wonder, what does being blessed really mean? What is it about? If you do a search on Twitter for hashtag blessed, you will get an eyeful. All kinds of interesting things popped up. This hashtag blessed, was trending for a while, and many of us found it became annoying because what really was posted were all kinds of what we call humble brags. There were celebrities posting things about their luxurious lifestyles or perhaps how fit and beautiful they looked, only to say, I'm not boasting because I'm hashtag blessed. Is that what it means to be blessed? The scriptures teach us that rather than being self-centered, biblical blessing is both God-centered and other-centered. To be blessed is, of course, to be granted God's divine favor and graciousness, and we're so thankful. But it's also other-centered in that scripture teaches us that God always blesses people in order that we may pass on the blessing. God's blessing comes through us to others. The foundational scripture here is God's blessing of Abraham in Genesis 12:2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. According to the Bible, Galatians 3, amongst others, we are descendants of Abraham, and we have been blessed to be a blessing. Now, maybe this morning or in this season, you don't feel particularly blessed right now. It doesn't seem like it. It's hard to see you're not feeling it. We won't always feel blessed, of course. It's not about our happiness or our circumstances. Scripture tells us this truth in Ephesians 1 and others, that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been blessed beyond measure through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Scripture tells us that Christ has ascended to heaven for us and prays for us and will come again for us. So being a blessing, being blessed, can be a joy indeed, because we have the opportunity to extend God's blessing to those around us in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces. making more disciples among the populations in caring and just world that God has intended for his world to be. We're blessed to be a blessing. And so we live this out together, and then we can proclaim the true meaning of being blessed. Sometimes it's not easy. I mean, even though I work for a church, this was a pretty big week for me, a big church event last week, a leader's retreat yesterday, and all of a sudden on Tuesday, I was called for jury duty downtown at Daly Center. And I thought, really? Even if I'm a standby juror, I know as a pastor, I rarely get put on a jury. They just won't take the risk. Right? So there I was sitting there, and one of my childhood church friends was there with me, which was a fun surprise. I wasn't feeling it, but I thought, you know what? God knows what God is doing. So I'm going to take this as an opportunity to see what happens. So making my way downtown on the yellow line and the red line, I decided to put it into action. Today we'll talk about beginning with prayer. What blessing means. And today I thought, okay, I'll try it out. I will begin with prayer, begin this whole event today. So everywhere I went that day, I prayed for the people around me. I might have been the only person whose eyes weren't down looking at their phone. I was looking at everyone in the subway car. I was looking at every person I met. And I was asking God how to pray for them, praying that they would be surprised by God's blessing, or someone who would come into their life to teach them the gospel, or just care for them, that they would be released from addictions. It became a fun experiment. Partway through the day, I saw someone who I thought, wow, he looks like Jesus, had the full beard and the long hair and everything. And then I thought, you know what? Everyone I'm seeing today looks like Jesus. And I started to enjoy the many amazing folks that God has made and how they all reflect God's image. So even though I wasn't super excited about jury duty, and the good news is, yep, I was one of the first people released, didn't want me on that jury, my poor friend, she served all week downtown. We are called to bless. We can try it out. We can see what God has in mind for us. I have no idea what that did, other than it certainly lifted my spirits, but I have to believe that God has the power to unleash blessings through something as simple as my attentiveness and prayer. We are descendants of Abraham, and God wants to bless us. Now, if you think about it, you know, you say, well, sure, the Bible says that. But even in popular culture, Spider-Man's Aunt May says, with great power comes great responsibility. Or if you're a real fan in older movies, Uncle Ben says it. But the Bible's version is a little different. With great blessing comes great responsibility. That's from Luke 12. God wants us to enjoy our blessings, but God also calls us to be a blessing in God's power. And so God prompts us to bless the world for Christ in two simple ways. First, we pray by name for those that we know who have not yet met Christ, who are not yet in relationship with Jesus. And second, we commit to taking concrete steps to bless them any way we can. That's it. It's not too hard if you're attentive, if you're looking for ways. Sharing the good news of Jesus is not about making a sale. It's about inviting others into life. Because sharing the gospel is ultimately about blessing the world. What does that look like? Well, today, as an introduction to this sermon series, I'm going to talk just in the shortest way about the five simple missional practices that teach us what blessing looks like. So we begin with prayer, which I've talked about a little bit. We acknowledge that we need God's power in order to release God's blessing, to extend God's blessing. We'll deeply bless others to the extent that we depend on the Holy Spirit and are looking to be involved. Then we listen with care. Sometimes we think evangelism is all about talking at people. I got a message, I got to tell them. Rather than hearing from people. But God calls us to practice engaging authentically with others and to listen carefully to their stories. When we listen, people feel noticed and valued and loved. And if the time comes for us to open our mouths and share the story, they're much more likely to listen if we have listened first. And next, the one which is perhaps the most fun, we eat together. As you look at scripture, most big interactions that Jesus had involved food or drink and an interesting host of guests. There's something about breaking bread together that helps us make meaningful and lasting connections. And then once we've heard from people and really listened, engaged in their lives, we begin to understand that they have needs and we can serve with love. We don't just skip over their needs to tell them what we think needs to happen next. This is part of the way that Jesus blessed and God has designed us to bless. We imitate our Savior who did not come to be served, but to serve. And finally, we take the risk to share the story of how Jesus is transforming not only our lives, but the whole world. Jesus is in the process of redeeming all of creation. And by God's grace, as we bless one another in these tangible ways, they'll receive this blessing of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So, okay, that's a preview. We understand that we've been blessed to be a blessing, but let's take this one step further. When you think about people in your life that you might be able to bless, how many of them look like you? You know, to bless our world in the way God envisioned, we must bless through colorful connections. So what does that mean? Someone in our Evanston community, local pastor Michelle Sanchez, explains this. She says that it means blessing across boundaries of differences. Boundaries that often divide us instead of bringing us together. Right now, we're a very divided country. What does it mean to bless across differences? The boundaries can include ethnicity, class, gender, age, ability, more. More could be said about each of these, but let's just talk about today about the boundaries of ethnicity and race. We don't bless through colorful connections because we want to be politically correct or because it's trendy, but because this is what the Bible teaches, what Jesus modeled. Let's take a closer look at Genesis 2 also. The Lord told Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It refers to all the diverse people on earth. And then we see a continuation of this in what we call the Great Commission of Jesus in Matthew 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that I have commanded you." The Greek word translated nations in each of these, disciples of all nations, that word is ethne. You might recognize it as the root of our word, ethnicity. The Great Commission is not just about making disciples of all countries, it's about making disciples of all ethnicities, extending God's welcome to everyone whom we meet. The Great Commission is not just for global missionaries who are headed somewhere else. It's also a mandate for us to cross ethnic and racial boundaries. It's a call to engage in multi-ethnic outreach wherever we are, on the soccer fields or the baseball fields, in work, in school, in our neighborhoods. Evanston is a beautiful community. Skokie, Chicago, all the areas around us, wherever you might work or live, are beautiful communities with amazing opportunities. We can bless through colorful connections. But there's still one more important thing we must do to do it as Jesus taught us to do. We begin with prayer. We always need God's power for us to bless others, but that's especially true if we seek to bless through colorful connections. Sometimes the differences that divide us can seem overwhelming, impossible to bridge. Perhaps no more than right now in our country. And Sanchez also says that it's natural for us to associate with people who are like us. It's called sorting, or a tendency to seek out with people who are similar to us in any number of ways, religiously, politically, economically, and yes, racially. Sometimes we do it without thinking. But when we begin to cross boundaries, it can become an adventure. I was thinking back to one of my first adventures across boundaries. After college, I was in Amsterdam for a summer on a mission trip with Youth with a Mission. I was working on the staff and often in the kitchen of a discipleship training school, but also in the city. And one night every week, I worked at a coffee shop that was located on a boat in the canal. It was this red barge, and it was called Steiger 14. That means Dock 14. Now, I would meet all kinds of people every week as we were out and about in the city evangelizing and doing things. But this particular night, as I was taking a break, a young man came up to me, and in French, he started to speak to me, and I thought, oh, I'll try my high school French. We'll see how this goes. I believe he was from Kenya in my memory. That's how I remember the story. I talked to him for a few minutes, doing the best that I could. And he surprised me. He said, in French, I have seen you in the city, and I have come to find you. And I thought, oh, that's a surprise. Okay, thanks. And then he said, I am praying for you. And I thought, super nice, thank you. And so I said, sure, I'll pray for you too. He moves on, that's the end of our conversation. And the next morning I get up and I'm at breakfast with the hundreds of college students, and the leader gets up to make an announcement and said, Tassie had an exciting night last night. She became engaged. And I thought, surely I would have noticed that. And so I said, do you think you could arrange a meeting with Edward and a translator for us to find out what happened? I learned that in his village, in his Christian community, when you want to marry someone, you tell the pastor that you are praying for someone, and if they agree, they say they're praying for you too. So I walked right into it. My family loves to tease me that I'm the only one they've ever heard of who became accidentally engaged. But I was excited to talk to someone across boundaries, even if I now know that my high school French is not nearly good enough to continue that. I was brave, and it was an adventure. Shortest engagement ever. Now, I hope that in your cross-cultural attempts to reach people that you have more success. And if you need to, you as a translator, I'll say. See, as we pray, as we look for what Jesus is doing, it can be a surprise to us, but it also, in God's way, in God's purposes, can do more things than we even know. Let's take a closer look at what God calls us to do as we begin with prayer. Because there's nothing wrong with connecting with people who are just like us. But I think that God intends for our life to be a beautiful adventure, a rainbow of colorful connections. That's why we pray for the power of Jesus to work. God doesn't call us just to every ordinary lives. God calls us to a supernatural mission. Just as God sends Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us and places us right where he has us with a plan. Christ has broken down the dividing walls and has empowered us to do the same through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is where prayer comes in. As we express our need to depend on the Holy Spirit, Jesus prayed and found his people, his posse, his team to go forward. You can pray for connections and friends. You can pray for others that you will encounter. Jesus says, as you've sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. That was in John 17 in the Upper Room Discourses. On Jesus' last night, he prayed for us to share his word, his gospel, his life, and that we would all be one. So Christians are called to unity and diversity, unity in our diversity. It's the combination that makes following Jesus special. And I think that the kingdom of God will stun the world now, just as it did before, way back when, to the extent that the church embodies God's intention of unity and diversity. The scriptures also say that the disciples have been given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What an incredible adventure. Maybe you can think of a time when you prayed and when God surprised you with a relationship. It's happened to me time and time again. I'll just mention one. I mentored a young student in Seattle, a university student who later became a teacher. And after I moved to go to seminary, I learned that she had developed mental illness. She had had a psychotic break, but she was functioning well with medication until she started going to a church that convinced her, if she had true faith, that God would heal her. And she went off her meds and has been off now for 20 years. It's been really rough. I pray every day for this young woman to be healed by Jesus and that she will boldly take a step of faith and take her meds again. She came to Chicago at one point to seek me, I was told. And so I ended up relating with her at that point monthly. I manage her money for her because she's not able to do that and she's banned from Social Security Administration. But through this relationship that God called me to, I came to understand and have new empathy and understanding. I took mental health first aid. It's made all the difference. And so now when she is going through the hardest things, I just remember to pray, pray, pray. And it's not because I'm so great. It's not because it's the easiest thing I've ever done. It's because God has bonded us, has bound us together in Jesus. God has called me to this relationship. So these kind of relationships might not always be easy. And yet God makes it clear as we look around who God is calling us to. We're called not only to bless, but to bless through colorful connections. Because we serve a God who delights in bringing people together. Who says, look what's going to happen when I introduce these two together. Look what's going to happen for my kingdom as they begin to share their stories with one another. That's what I encourage you to one another. Today, I'm going to ask you to either take the pew card from the back of your pew, or if there aren't any near you, we have index cards that the ushers will be bringing around if you wave. And I'm going to ask you to take a moment in quiet to make a list of some names of people that you know that God might be calling you to bless in these ways. Even if you're not sure, to make a list. So the ushers are walking around, Hannah's walking around with some of these cards. Pull them out of your pew rack, pull the pencils out. We serve a God who delights in bringing people together for his purposes through colorful connections. May the Spirit open our eyes to the bridges God wants us to build. I ask you to take some time and just write down these names. You don't have to turn them in, but to write down these names and to begin with prayer and see where this may lead. And in a moment, I will pray for these names. I ask especially that you consider ethnic diversity. And if you can't come up with that kind of list, if you realize, wow, I don't have people I know across boundaries, you could pray that God would help you build those colorful connections over time, that the body of Christ might reflect God's amazing imagination and creativity. You could make sure that your list is colorful in terms of race, ethnicity, culture, ability, age, class, even politics. We can pray for those people. Let's take a moment in silence, if you would just pray, play a little bit that we might write down those names, and we'll pray for them in a moment. I encourage you to take these cards with you and see if God prompts you to add to them. Put it somewhere where you can see it, on your mirror or on the dashboard of your car or somewhere where you'll be reminded, on your desk, to pray for people and to see who God adds to it. And the joyful noises of the children in the congregation remind us to pray for people in all ages and stages, even for the next generations, those unborn in our families and in this church. So let me take a moment to close and pray for those names. Jesus, you guide us, and by your Spirit, we begin. I thank you for each of these names that people have written and those that you will place on their heart. We lift them to you and ask, by your surprising grace, that you bring people into their lives that will help them know your great big no matter what love that promises not only eternal life, but abundant life now. We dedicate each of these people to you, and we can't wait to see what you'll do, whether it's through us or others, that you can release your blessing and your power. We're so thankful. Amen. Scripture promises that with our own eyes, we will see history culminate in a colorful celebration beyond anything that we can imagine. That's the promise of revelation of history. So let's join in and partner with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, to usher in his colorful kingdom of God. And let us begin with prayer. Amen.